Okay, welcome to the inaugural TSB Goes to the Movies. I am Alex at TSB Pod. He is Ski at TSB Ski. He is King at Jeromney. We finally decided to do it. It's going to be our weekly podcast where we watch a movie and talk about it. That's as
cutting
far
edge
as
concept.
We've gotten.
Yeah, cutting edge concepts here.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Conceptual. You can tell we really thought about it for a long time. The thing is, we would like to watch movies that you would like us to watch and then talk about them. So if you want, tweet at one of us. Again, that's at TSB Pod, at Jeromney, at TSB Ski. And we already have a bunch of suggestions right now. But if we see something and it, you know, catches our eye, it's something that interests us, we will watch it. No matter how good, no matter how bad, we will watch it and we will talk about it. That's the goal. We are eventually at the end of the podcast going to rank it. We haven't decided how we're going to rank it. It's going to be out of five. It's going to change depending on the movie we watched. So the movie we watched this week was suggested by a listener of the sports podcast, Kurt, K-triple-E-triple-R-triple-T-1 on Twitter. And it is the movie Pig, starring Nicolas Cage, some dude with a weird mustache, and a pig.
Well, I didn't watch that movie. I watched Babe, Pig in the City. I thought that's what we were watching. So,
oh, damn.
This might be a little different what we're going to talk about.
I have never seen Babe, Pig in the City. I've never seen it. you know what? I guess we're going to be talking about, can we talk about the first Babe, I guess, instead?
All right.
This movie Pig, I think a big reason why Kurt suggested it, by the way, it's on Hulu. So if it's a, you know, we would prefer it be a movie we can all actually watch. So if you're going to suggest one, Kurt suggested Pig, which is on Hulu, filmed in Portland, filmed in the outskirts of Portland. Which I'm pretty sure is a big reason why Kurt suggested it. You can tell that is 1,000% Oregon when Nicolas Cage's character is out in the woods in his cabin. I have been there. Even if I haven't been there, I have been there because I live in Oregon. So that was kind of neat. I don't really know how to talk about this movie. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what this movie felt like to me. This movie felt like they cut about an hour of this movie out and caused it to make no fucking sense and make it.
So it's supposed to be like a touching story, and eventually you get there. You find out. By the way, if you haven't seen the movie yet, we're going to spoil a whole bunch, and so just deal with it. Just know that going into this, if you're going to listen to the podcast where we talk about a movie, we will have seen the movie. So, you know, it's supposed to be a movie about you learning about the tragedy that happened to Nicolas Cage's character, where he starts out living in this cabin in the woods by himself with a truffle hunting pig. And then as the movie goes on, you find out why he ended up in the woods
he ended up there
kind of
a little bit, not much, but a little. You got to figure it out. You're come up with your own reasons of actually why he is in the woods,
and the journey there is really fucking weird. I mean, so there are points in this movie where we are to believe that there is an underground club run
Fight Club.
No, it's not a fight club. It's an underground club where like bus boys and, you know, waitresses and the like, they go and they beat up defenseless homeless people. Like that's what that scene was. Like the first guy, he had his arms behind his back. He's a homeless dude with no shirt on and a big scruffy beard. And this dude just beats the shit out of him. What is that?
All right, so
Parole District.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
All right, so we're getting a little heady. I'll tell you exactly where I was. Let's go back. But so the first scene, one of the first things in the movie, you know, Cage is, you know, cleaning a pan in the water. Then he's off trotting through the woods. Then one of the first things you actually see him do is he takes his knife, jams it into the earth, and just starts eating dirt.
Ate some dirt. Yep. You don't eat dirt. It's Oregon.
And then, then he continues to just wander and eventually finds a truffle. That's all we know about this character then. And then he continues to cook a quiche, I believe. And, you know, this is where I'm going at that. Maybe they left some things out. I had no idea he was an ex-chef. I had no idea he was a chef for the first 15 minutes of the movie.
No, it's like it's like a 90-minute movie. You find out minute 85, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it's... And that brings me back to what you're talking about with that kind of underground fighting thing, is I didn't know what the movie was. I didn't know what he was. I thought he might have been, I don't know, in if there is a mob in Portland or some sort of fighting thing, I don't know.
Like he was running.
I didn't know if this was.
That was the sense you got throughout the whole movie, is that he's running from something. You would assume for most of it that it is something crime related. Because the kid who ends up, who essentially trades truffles for groceries.
Is that what they call him? What do they call him?
Yeah, the truffle seller? Buyer. Truffle dealer, I guess. I totally forgot where my train of thought was.
No, but you were saying what Cage's character, what you thought he was for the first three quarters of the movie.
Yes, because this kid's dad, you find out, is, by the way, you never really find out what he is. Like he's just an influential dude in Portland who people fear, apparently, even though we never really saw an example of that. Also, he lives in just a totally random normal house in a normal neighborhood in Portland that, you know, any of our friends live in currently. He's some big scary guy, but we never really find out why he's scary. But you get the sense that he's in the mob or something like that.
Right.
I have no idea.
And they
why does anybody fear that guy?
I don't know. I don't know what he does. Like I said, I don't know if he is. His son kind of alluded that they were in the same business, so maybe you think he's in the truffle business as well.
I think he's a restaurateur.
That's kind of what I thought he did. Other stuff.
See, yeah, I think he's a restaurateur, and Cage was a chef along the way, and he shoved him out of town because Portland is only big enough for the one of us.
Yeah, and you got the sense that so essentially we learn in the end that Cage's character was like one of the most influential chefs in Portland. And so, you know, everybody knew who he was. I mean, he did what is actually true. I mean, this is a thing. There's like a community of people where if you're in the, you know, if you're in the industry, you know people who work at different places who will give you things if you need things. And so he went from place to place getting these things to hopefully help him get his pig back. And so I liked that part of the movie. I did. The scene where he sat and kind of talked to the manic dude who owns the restaurant who really wanted to start a pub, that was one of the weirdest scenes in the entire movie, just because of how the other dude was acting.
That guy was so creepy.
Portland. That's the Portland part of the movie.
It is. Yeah.
You wanted, I thought you were going to open up a shitty pub, and here you are, hipster contemporary. I'm disappointed in you.
The funny thing about that, though, is them showing how Portland this is them showing him own, like, starting a restaurant where they pull a bowl of smoke off of the plate and blah, it's sourced from blah, 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 blah. But opening an English pub is actually the most Portland thing he could have done.
Whatever his idea of, like,
Portland in the last 30 years?
It was like a curry scotched egg, which it sounds like the most Portland dish someone would come up with.
Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's like it's meat wrapped around egg, like deep fried. And
that sounds so good. That sounds so good. And like a curry one, too.
Yeah.
If you perfect that and only sell that, you will make $1 million in Portland, which will buy you a small two bedroom.
All right, so back to early movie again.
Yes.
Where I read nothing about this movie. I was completely blind going in.
Same. All I knew was Nick Cage was going to be in it.
Yes.
Was it the same for you?
First...
Real quick, was it the same for you, King?
No, I knew it was based in Portland, and okay. I knew he was a chef.
Okay, I didn't know anything about it.
I did not know that.
That's why I think everyone in Oregon has seen it. It's because movie was based in Meridian, Idaho.
Nobody cares.
You know, Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and it's exactly the same. I don't think people I know watch it.
It's another weird Nick Cage movie.
So I went into it with my mind of what Cage kind of movies he's been doing in the last 5 to 10 years. So I would say the first, once he gets into the city and maybe the first couple places he goes in the city, I thought it was kind of a Hobo with a Shotgun / John Wick movie. I thought he was going to go on a rampage.
I thought
he was going to go kill whoever took this pig. I thought he was going to fuck everyone up. And that's what I thought for 3/4 of the movie. And then, you know, you find out that he's a chef in all this. And then it's all, it completely lost me there because I was going somewhere completely different in this movie with it.
Was Nick Cage good in this movie?
Yes.
For Nick Cage or for other actors?
In general. I think he did, I'm asking for a general statement. Was Nick Cage good in this movie? I think he was.
He was fine.
I think he was fine. I think some of the decisions they made in the movie were fucking bizarre. And I'll never understand them. So I jotted this down as I was watching the movie because I didn't want to forget it. So the little like homeless beat 'em up fight club thing that they had, which by the way, Hotel Portland, which is under Pioneer Square apparently in Portland, which okay, but like he purposefully gets beat up so he can get something from the guy who runs it or something like that.
Yeah, it was to get the information about who has his pig.
Yeah, who has the pig or whatever. So yeah. He apparently has that for some reason. Who knows why? But he gets beat up. Like he lets himself get beat up for 5 minutes or a minute. I think it was like 60 seconds. That's how much they can actually. So this like, you know, Mater D or whatever just beats the ever loving shit out of him. Just cut up, just beat up. And he doesn't clean it off the rest of the movie. He goes into restaurants. He goes into people's homes. He cooks a really nice, you know, chicken meal at the end of the movie and then sits down and has wine and like with huge gashes and blood just everywhere, all over his beard, like his whole, he doesn't wash it off the whole movie until right at the end. Like when he gets back and then gets to the river and then
he's at clean spring water.
But he puts like one handful of water on his face and wipes it down and then walks away. It's like, dude, you have open wounds on your face. Like you need to go to a hospital or you're going to get infected and die. Like, I know you probably don't care about that. You seemingly do, but you're going to die, bro. Clean your face. He laid down on the dude's couch with like blood all over his face. Like, what are you doing?
He handed him a little like brown bag. I thought he was giving him a 40, but I think he just put some ice or something in it.
He needs some like painkillers or something. Is that like Nicolas Cage? Just, you know what? I only want to do makeup one day and then we're just going to call it good for the rest of the movie.
I feel like they shot this movie in 2 weeks. It was a very low budget, quick shoot of a movie.
Did they actually shoot it in one day? That's my question. And they couldn't afford to wipe off the blood and then have to put it back for reshoots or anything.
Exactly. But I pose a question to you guys. What was the most Portland thing about that movie? I actually have two I thought were very Portland. But I'll let's see, give us one
while we think.
All right, one is that anytime Cage was walking on the street, he was walking in the middle of the street. When he first left the woods, he was just walking down the middle of the fucking road. when he was going to, I guess, his old house. He was just walking in the middle of the street. There are a lot of people that just walk in the middle of the streets in Portland.
That's very true. He even did it in the country, too. He did not walk on a sidewalk.
No. Rode the bike in the middle of the fucking street.
That's true.
Walked in the middle of the street. Just.
You might have it with that
zero
one.
Bucks.
If we're being completely honest.
The other one's pretty close, too. When he goes to his old house and the little kid's sitting out front, I could see a homeless bloody man walking into a random house and sitting in the back porch there. So,
you know what? Did they ever explain who that child was or why he was at that house?
That was his house. That was Cage's old house that he lived with, apparently with his dead wife.
So he used to live there with his wife. So he just randomly goes to this house, walks around the side and the back, sees a kid playing an instrument, sits down next to the kid, is like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Kid, like, the kid is nice because it's a kid. Kids don't know the difference.
Oh,
which, by the way, they should know the difference. Stranger danger.
Where's the parents? Well, I was thinking, where are the fucking parents here?
You can hear the mom in the background. It's like, holy shit. Could you imagine the flip out? Like, he gets hit with something.
Twitter.
How do you explain that?
Twitter poll for whoever, whatever five or six people listen to this that live in Portland. Have any of you had a homeless person just come into your yard?
I know. And by the way, hypothetical, say it happens. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Are you? I don't want to say what I would probably do into a microphone that is going out on the internet, but I think a lot of you would probably do the same thing I'm thinking. Most Portland moment, they mention the kid. Remember, he's like, hey, why don't you just get out of here, man? Like, why don't you just move to Seattle? Nick Cage saying, fuck Seattle.
Yeah. You skipped it. That was the one scene where Cage was Cage when he was talking about, like, the destruction of Portland when the tsunami hits and the earthquakes and all that.
Yeah.
And that's when they said, I don't, you know, it's like, I don't, the younger guy said, I don't want to move to fucking Seattle. And that's when Cage said, fuck Seattle.
So
it was perfect. Yeah. But that little monologue of Cage talking about how Portland just going to get wiped off the map was very Cage-esque.
Here's a question. Is the movie for anyone who lives outside of Oregon? Does anybody who doesn't live outside of Oregon give a shit about this movie?
Because the reviews are good.
Yeah.
The what?
The reviews are good. People liked this movie.
I'm curious because it is so catered. Like, so many inside references for, like, Portland and Oregon people.
Does this movie get made without Portlandia being made first?
Yeah.
Because do you need the background that Portland's like a weird, wacky,
booty,
kind of snobby place?
I think people know.
Yeah, but was that from Portlandia, though, mostly?
See, I think Portlandia was more of a show, just people in Portland or people in Oregon, San Francisco, Seattle, and Brooklyn watched. No one else in the world watched that show.
No? All right. That was the demographic for it? Just those four cities?
Yes, it was just those. Yeah.
I will say, I understand why people like this movie. Like, I feel like the slow reveal of who he actually was, the fact that you find out that he's, you know, essentially the pig is replacing his wife, you know, the fact that he went through tremendous heartbreak and wanted to just leave and just left a super lucrative. He's the most famous chef in Portland. Like, the fact that he just left that, lived to the country, you know, didn't have electricity, like, just shut himself off. The only link to the outside world was the dude who would bring him groceries in exchange for truffles. Like, I get it. Like, there's a really good, emotional thread to this movie. There, like we've said, there's really weird things that happen in this movie that don't make any sense. But I see, like, the heart behind the story. I see why Nick Cage wanted to make this movie, you know, like, why he would tie himself to this movie. Right. I get it.
On that note, the main premise of the movie, why does the dad take the pig? Is it to fuck the son over, or is he trying to get in that business more? Was it purely to fuck the son over? Was that what it was? Yeah?
That's the only thing I could think of. Yeah.
Or was it because King mentioned that the guy might be a restaurateur, and once he heard who Cage was, maybe it was a little spiteful of Cage himself. I don't know.
I think that was it, right? Like, wasn't it he found out that his son was working with him and he like still holds a grudge from a really long time? What does he hold a grudge for?
That I don't think it is anything. I think it was just spite of his kid.
That's fucked up. He's a horrible dad.
By the way, the only other person I know, that actor, Adam Arkin, always plays weird characters like that. So it was actually a good cast there.
Yeah, yeah.
Of Arkin.
Yeah, I thought everybody in the movie did well.
Actually, circling back, the most Portland aspect of the movie was the junkies that were hired to steal the pig. The junkies screwed up and killed the pig.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
1,000%. 1,000%. I forgot all about that. So the way he ends up having the pig stolen is there's a truffle community, apparently, and these two meth heads.
Which I'm very sure there is.
Very true.
And there are these two meth heads who are hired by the guy, which, by the way, how did those two people get linked with that guy? Like, that's what I want to know. Like, how did the two meth heads get linked with the dad? Like, the dad hires them to steal the pig.
That's why I thought he was a crime guy the whole time.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. If he's not a crime guy, how does he know these two random meth heads who live in the country and are part of a truffle community? But yeah, they steal. One of my favorite parts of the movie was when the head of the truffle community, because remember, like, Nick Cage and the kid walk up to the tent or whatever, the tables where they're kind of going. Like, there's this like nice old lady, you know, who's talking with other people, like, hey, just going through truffles, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes, they stole my pig. And she's like, motherfucker. And then like storms off. If I talk about one fucking thing in my community, it's, I was like, whoa, came absolutely out of nowhere.
Oh, she was fucking fired up. That was good.
Yeah, I laughed my ass off when I saw that. All right.
But outside that, I was trying to find something else that was actually like, you know, you could say the whole story in the end when it finishes was good, but I was trying to pick like a scene that was good. There wasn't many scenes that were very good.
I got one.
As entertaining value.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, this is not like an action movie by any stretch of the imagination. It's not one of those kind of movies, but. I'll say one scene that stood out to me.
It was trying to be like an action movie, though. It was kind of, I mean,
I think the artsy one,
yes.
Yeah, I think the one scene that kind of stuck out to me was when he, I forget who she was to him, but he goes to the baker's place where he gets the bread.
I think she worked at his restaurant.
Sous chef or something like that or some shit. I don't know the terms.
Yeah, didn't go too much into it to actually tell you.
But he gave her the restaurant, and she said for a while she tried to keep it a restaurant, but it wasn't her. She's a baker, and so she turned it into a bakery, and it's, you know, thriving bakery in Portland now. I like that scene. I thought that was cool because it was like super, like they played the emotions really well. He ends up like there's a moment of silence, and then he asks, do you still make the bread? And she's like, yes, I still make the bread. And she gives him the bread. And then you find out the whole thing, like him going step by step, going to these different places, was to recreate the meal that he made for the asshole dad and his dead wife.
No, she was in a coma, would be my guess.
Coma? That's right. She was in a coma. That's right.
From what I gathered, the son said she tried to kill herself.
Yes,
I believe.
Right.
Yes.
Yes. So she tried to kill herself. Is in a coma. And so obviously the dad has not been taking it well, but he recreates the, like, that's something Nicolas Cage's character can apparently do. He remembers literally every meal he's ever made down to the T. And so he gets the exact same wine from this lady who runs a cemetery now. He gets the same bread. He gets the same bird. And he teaches the son to make it, which, by the way, that's another weird one. So he and the son make an entire fucking dinner in the kitchen of the dad's house while he's there, and he doesn't notice it.
No, doesn't want to come out of his little office there. Just
that dinner takes at least an hour, at least. And so, and by the way, you'd probably smell it. So I don't know. Maybe that's something they was on the cutting room floor, that he has no, like, he can't smell things or something. But that was another weird oversight. But yeah, that was the scene that stuck out to me. What about you?
Nothing. That was the thing. Nothing really stuck out to me.
Yeah, it was kind of level.
This movie seemed like someone, whoever the director and writer were, was someone that
same guy
definitely went to film school, and their favorite movies were like Fight Club and like Road to Perdition. This is a mix of Fight Club, Road to Perdition, and Chef. I feel like they couldn't figure, like, congeal together exactly what this movie was. I kind of just picked different things from different movies and threw them all together in a movie.
Yeah, film school kid from Portland. Because
they gave the
homage to his.
They gave the little Tarantino-esque things, like Chapter One, the name of a dish, and it's like, you know, breaking it down. You know, here's the three acts kind of thing.
I was ready to hammer. I was ready to hammer on that. I think that's a sort of a cliche nowadays to do the chapters. Like, yeah, essentially since Tarantino did it with Hateful Eight, right? A bunch of people are doing that now. I was like, the first one didn't make sense. The second one is like, okay, no. The third one, it was the name of the meal. Like, I started to understand it, but I was like, that's dumb. Like, that doesn't need to be there. It's super duper cheesy. Just make the movie. We don't need it. You don't need to have the words there while he's walking on the freeway. Like, just have him walk on the freeway. It's okay, you dork. Anything stick out to you, King?
No.
Like, in terms of like,
it was just kind of dark and droning the whole time.
It was. Okay, shall but we? Do you have anything you want to talk about before we actually like rate this?
Trying to think of, I've been a little negative. I'm trying to think of something positive of the movie.
Because we do have to rank it. And I don't know if I'd say that this was a bad movie. Like, I'm not ready to say that. So
that's the problem with these kind of artsy indie movies. It's because I think the director did it probably exactly what they want. I still think a lot of it was cut. I think this movie was probably closer to 3 hours long to start. And they said, there's no fucking way we're going to let you put this out in a 3 hour long movie of Cage trying to get this fucking pig back. So I think they did miss a lot that could have actually helped this movie by cutting it down so short. It's like, it was what, hour and a half?
Yeah, it was pretty,
I believe it was
pretty tidy and quick.
Yep. That's the thing. It is an easy watch.
Yeah.
You give it credit for that. I would say, people, if you're listening to this, like, and you haven't watched it, why are you still listening to this if you haven't watched it? But I'd say, you know, if somebody asked me, I'd say, yeah, it's okay. Watch it. You know, if you're asking me, you're thinking about watching it anyways. Watch it.
See, I'll go the opposite of you then. I'll say save an hour and a half for something else. So I guess we'll let King, you're going to be the deciding factor here. Are you
are we ranking it now? Or are we actually rating it? Or are we just saying, should people watch
it? I'll rate it right now.
Okay, hang on. Because we're going out of five. What are we going to use as our ranking system?
A truffle.
The truffle. Okay, so how many truffles out of five?
I'm not going truffles. Fuck that. I'm going dead pigs, because that's what this movie was to me. Two dead pigs this movie got out of five. Two dead pigs.
Out of five. Do we each get our own thing?
You can choose whatever you want.
I'm saying 3 out of 5 truffles.
I'm writing this down. 2 dead pigs, 3 truffles. I will do. Are we allowed to do a half?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go 3.5.
Ooh, wow.
Untreated wounds out of 5.
And I'm definitely going to remember you giving this a 3.5 for the other movies we watch. And I will I will continually bring this up if that's how you skew your rankings going forward.
This is a standard bearer, right? We're starting off heavy. I don't know. I might end up regretting the 3.5. I might end up regretting the half, you know?
That's a big half you gave it there.
The half might screw me over in the end. I love the idea of you making a note and judging every rating I make after this based on the movie Pig. It's fantastic.
All right, so back to King. Is this should people watch this or not watch it?
Waste time? It's on Hulu. It's free. You don't have to finish it, but start it.
What is this movie like?
I don't know about that. If you watch half this movie, just half this movie, you're going to be the most confused human being on earth.
You'll forget about it. Yeah, you'll carry on.
I'm trying to think of, like, what's this movie like? If you like this movie, you will like Pig. It's weird because it's got crazy John Wick vibes, but it's not action at all. Like, not even close. But I would say it's dark
like John Wick.
Looks like John Wick, but it's not even close to John Wick.
And like I said, it's kind of like Chef, where there should have been more food involved if that's kind of the angle they were going with, especially with the little chapter titles. But I don't know. This is in a whole new genre to me right now.
Yeah. Which I think is what Nick Cage is going for here in like the last, 10 years of his career, is making movies exactly like this, that I don't know what to call this movie. I know he was in it. I know he's in a lot of weird movies lately, and it was pretty good.
Well, he clearly doesn't need the money, so you might as well start weird art.
Wasn't that the thing?
He's making all that. Gone in 60 Seconds money, man. He's just banking that in.
I think that's why he's doing these movies.
I think that's kind of the point.
Because he was buying like castles and like monkey skulls and.
Well, I don't think he was getting paid much for this movie, so mummies.
Mummy wholesaler.
Well, I believe he just married some like 26, 27 year old chick. So he's probably gonna need some money in the near future. So
married.
So he should do another.
What are you doing? Marrying a 20 something? What are you doing? What are you doing?
See, this is where I disagree with you guys, because if he was in it for the money, he would have made what was the fucking Hell Rider guy he was?
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider. He'd make another Ghost Rider movie if he was trying to bank money.
By the way, like the night and day reversal of the Marvel movies. Like, think back to that era of Marvel movies to what they are now.
That was a Marvel movie?
Ghost Rider's Marvel. Yeah. They're talking about bringing Ghost Rider back, like to the MCU.
Well, there you go. Cage is all aboard.
You think it's gonna all be aboard, Cage? Baby.
Who's gonna be him over Cage?
I have seen rumors that it's what's his face from Walking Dead, Daryl. I forget his name.
Norman Reedus.
Yeah, Norman Reedus, Boondock Saints guy. Yeah. He'd be good, probably. I don't know. Who knows?
You cannot beat Cage though.
They just introduced Blade into the MCU. So Ghost Rider, why not?
See, I don't know how you get rid of Snipes. Was it Mahershala Ali?
He's pretty good.
Mahershala, whatever.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm trying to compare these guys to Cage and Snipes now. Come on.
I know. There's really no comparison, right?
Speaking of another guy that needs a fucking paycheck, so.
Yeah, that's true.
He would love to sign back on to Blade.
All right, so shall we wrap it up? Any parting thoughts on the movie Pig?
No.
I was kind of hoping maybe to see a dead pig carcass at the end. I feel like Cage would have wanted that dead pig carcass to bury.
To see the carcass of the pig that the meth heads accidentally killed, which, by the way, I think pigs are pretty big, and, you know, I would imagine hard to accidentally kill. Like, how would you accidentally kill this gigantic pig? That's my question.
Here's a theory I just came up with.
That needs to be a spinoff movie, is following the meth heads after they steal the pig.
So here's my theory, and I think this will sum up what people can expect from this podcast. I think the meth heads fucked this pig, and that's how it's died.
Easy.
That's how it makes sense. Because, like you said, pigs don't just die. They're those sturdy fucking animals. Said they got a little rough with it. What, were they beating the shit out of it? I mean, something's not adding up here.
Look, Ski knows from experience, all right? Pigs don't just die. You gotta fuck pigs until they die.
Hey, pigs eat people. You don't fuck with pigs.
That's what I'm saying. How do you accidentally kill a pig? You can't. It's like not a thing.
No.
Oh, God. All right. Well, thank you for listening, everyone who is still listening. This was our first TSB Goes to the Movies. Again, if you want to suggest a movie for us to watch, at TSB Pod, at TSB Ski, or at Jeromny, just drop us a line. Give us a suggestion. If we like it, we'll watch it.
Please make it be a better movie or a very much worse movie. This was too middle of the road. It not good, not bad. I need something really bad or something good.
Yeah, or just suggest a movie, and then we'll pick it from there.
No. We have some standards here on this podcast.
I guess, you know, time will tell if that's true or not. So thank you for listening. We will see you guys next week.